So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 13, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha, Text Number 25. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janalok, Tapalok and Satyalok heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all auspicious sound of the all merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Translation, please repeat. When the great sages and thinkers,
who are residents of
Janalok,
Tapolok,
and Satyalok,
heard the tumultuous voice
of Lord Bor,
which was the all auspicious sound
of the all merciful Lord.
They chanted auspicious chants
from the three Vedas. Purport. The word Maya Maya is very significant in this verse. Maya means mercy, specific knowledge, and also illusion. Therefore, Lord Bor is everything. He is merciful, He is all knowledge, and He is illusion also. The sound which He vibrated as the Bor incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janalok, Tapolok and Satyalok. The highest intellectual and pious living entities live in those planets. And when they heard the extraordinary voice of the Bor, they could understand that the specific sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. Therefore, they replied by praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. The earth planet was submerged in the mire. But on hearing the sound of the Lord, the inhabitants of the higher planets were all jubilant because they knew that the Lord was there to deliver the earth. Therefore, Brahma and all the sages such as Bhrigu, Brahma's other sons and learned Brahmanas were enlivened, and they concertedly joined in praising the Lord with the transcendental vibrations of the Vedic hymns. The most important is the Brihan Naradiya Puran verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padkamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Prabhu, can you can't do more? So here we are discussing the appearance of Varahadev. Very soon we will have appearance of Lord Krishna, not in the Bhagavatam class, but in Janmashtami is approaching. So that's appearance of Lord Krishna. So Lord is appearing every day. When we chant the holy names, then that's the appearance of Lord. So it's very important to discuss about the appearance of Lord and His activities. Why is it important to discuss that? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvatah tyaktva deham punar janma neti mameti sojanam. That one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities, after leaving this body, he does not come back to this world. He comes to me. So that's why it's very important to discuss the appearance and activities of Lord. So here in Bhagavatam, we are discussing appearance of Varahadev. So in last few classes we heard that how amazing is Lord Varahadev's appearance. He appeared from the nostril of Brahma. So Gurujan Prabhu was mentioning that it's not very wonderful because Lord is present everywhere. So He can appear from anywhere. He can appear from the nostril, He can appear from the pillar as Narasimha Dev, or He can appear from the womb of Devaki. So it's not very wonderful in one sense. But in one sense it's wonderful because all of the activities of Lord are wonderful. His appearance, His disappearance, or any other activity, they are all wonderful. Because they are pastimes. All these activities are performed not by force, but by His free will, by His sweet will. That's how He performs His activities. So it's very important to discuss these appearances and these activities. So now here we see when Lord Varahadev appeared, He made a big sound, a tumultuous sound. So there's so much sound vibration in this world. We know that in the beginning of creation, actually there was the sound. So sound is so important. It is said the Om, or the transcendental sound was there. Then further in the creation, all other elements manifested. So sound was there in the beginning. So there is material sound and there is spiritual sound. So spiritual sound is very important. It is said anavritti shabda, that you can get liberated by hearing this spiritual sound. So this is one instance of this spiritual sound vibration. Anything related to Supreme Lord, any sound related to Supreme Lord is spiritual. Whether it is made by Lord or whether it's made by anyone else in relation to Lord, it's very significant. It is said the holy name of Lord is so powerful, so holy name is Krishna Himself. So that the sound of holy name is so powerful that it doesn't matter who chants, he or she will get the benefit. It's the example is given just as there is a field
of dry grass. And if you give a lighted match in the hand of a person and he lights that grass, so the whole field will be burned. Now, does it matter whether that person is a man, woman, or a child? Doesn't matter. Whoever he or she is, whether even if he is an inexperienced child, if he lights that dry grass, it will burn. So same way, holy name is like that. Doesn't matter if you are an advanced devotee, neophyte devotee, non-devotee, doesn't matter. If somehow or other we just associate with that sound, there will be the effect will be there. So that's the power of spiritual sound vibration. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this fact is also discussed about the spiritual sound vibration. So the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita is talking about that how the armies are arranged on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And then Arjun asks Krishna to take his chariot in between two armies. But just before that, and just in the beginning, when Sanjay is describing the scene, the setup of the army on the battlefield, he's describing this to Dhritarashtra. So he says that Duryodhan approaches his teacher. And he says that actually he was afraid. He didn't expect that Pandavas will gather so much army. And when he saw the arrangement, how the army was arranged very strategically, he got afraid in the heart. But because he's very diplomatic and he's a politician and he's a great demon, so you can't show that externally. So when we see, you know, when you ask someone, how are you? Everyone says, yes, I'm okay. So we don't show what's going on in there. Externally we show everything's fine, I'm in control. So that's what, that's how Duryodhan reacted. Externally he said, okay. So he approached Dronacharya and he said, see, you know, we have a lot of power. We have immeasurable power. See our army. We have great fighters here. And because we have Bhishma there, grandfather Bhishma, that's why we have immeasurable power. And we can easily defeat Pandavas. Their strength is limited. Because they are protected by Bhima. He mentioned the name of Bhima because he was very envious of him from childhood. So then, Bhishma Dev, when he saw that, he understood. Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee of Lord. By some arrangement of Lord, he was on the opposite side. But still, he understood the situation. He understood Duryodhan is a little afraid. So what he did, he blew his conch shell. Tasya Sanjanayan Harsham Kuru Vridha Pitama Singh Nadam Vinodyachai Shankam Dadmo Pratapavan. So he sounded his conch shell, which was like a roar of a lion. So it was very big sound. And then all other sounds were there. All other instruments and bugles and other instruments started playing. And then it's described in first chapter that Krishna and the Pandavas, they also blew their conch shells. But the sound made by their conch shells was different. That was spiritual sound. And that's mentioned there as tumultuous. Saghosho dhata rashtrana hridayani vyadarayat nabascha prithvim chaiva tumulo vyanu nadayan. So, Sir Goshodhat Rashtranam Hridayani Vyadare. So, it says that when these transcendental conch shells were blown,
then the hearts of sons of Dhritarashtra were shattered, because that sound resounded in the sky and on the earth, and it was tumultuous. And that's the spiritual sound. So by spiritual sound, devotees get encouragement and demons get discouragement. So that's why when we see when there's a Harinam party, you know, those who are innocent people, they enjoy and they wave and they also join in the dancing. But those who are envious or demoniac, they get very upset. And they close their ears. One time I was in the Harinam party, there's a lady who sits as a busker and she has a dog. She was closing the ears of dog. Don't hear this. So like that. So I will tolerate somehow, but you don't hear. So that's demoniac. So spiritual sound vibration is very encouraging for pious people. So that's why we hear when Lord Bor, he made this transcendental roar. So all these pious living entities on the higher planets of Janalok, Tapolok and Satyalok, they became very happy. They understood this is a spiritual sound vibration. And they replied. They replied with Vedic hymns. So that's the significance of spiritual sound vibration. And we see here these pious living entities who are residing on these different planets. They are positioned according to their advancement. So within the universe, we have different levels. We have the lower planets, we have the middle planets, we have the higher planets. So according to the qualification, one achieves that place. So word mentioned here is nivasina. Janastapaha satya nivasina. So these residents of higher planets. So this is not a permanent position. Any position in the material world is temporary. But if someone is qualified, he can sustain that position or he can go higher. And if he misuses his position, he can go down. So that's very important to know. We shouldn't become relaxed. We should always endeavor for going higher. Complacent. Yeah, that's the word. So we shouldn't be complacent, and we should always endeavor to go higher, because that's called progress. If we are not progressing, we can't remain stagnant for long. We will go down. So that's the thing. Either we are going up or we are going down. The position of stagnancy is temporary. If you see, when we understand that someone is liberated, he or she reaches Brahma Jyoti, it's like a stagnant position. You can't stay there for a long time. It's a transit. Either you go up or you will fall down. So that's why many, many big Brahmavadis, Mayavadis, even if they are liberated, if they don't endeavor to go higher to Bhagwan realization, they fall down to material level. They open hospitals to help people. They open schools. So that's material piety. That has nothing to do with spirituality. So that's the danger. So in our spiritual life, we have to always be on guard that we are not in the comfortable zone and we are not stagnant. We should always be making endeavor to go higher. So that's the importance. So these positions that are there in these different planets is according to our advancement. And this whole material world is called samsriti. So the exact translation of the word samsriti is transmigration in material life. So all the time we are actually moving from one material position to another. So that's samsriti. It's a continuous process. If you see that this body is also continuously changing. Every day, every moment it's changing. The example is given of a river. If you see a river at a point, that point is, there's, at every moment there is new water there. All the time it's changing. So same way the soul is present within the body, but it's, the body is always changing. It's like a flowing river. And according to different levels, living entities experience different things. So the higher, on the higher level we have the demigods. So what is the mood of demigods? They are always in jubilation. They're very happy, extremely happy. And then on the middle level we have the humans. And what's their position? They are always lamenting. So there is this lamentation always. And the lower level is the animal level pretty much. And they are always fearful. So these are the different level of experience one goes within this samsriti or this material world. Now let's discuss little more about humans, because we are positioned in this middle planetary system. So lamentation is the main characteristic of human beings. So why is that? Because of lust. So lust, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, is the greatest enemy of the human beings. So we are lusting for things. Oh, if I want this. We are hankering and we are lamenting. So these are shochiti, kankshiti. These are the two things going on simultaneously, all the time. For one who is conditioned, these two things are always going on. We are lusting for something, we want that. And when we get that, if we lose it, then we are hankering for something. When we get that, if we lose it, then we are lamenting. Oh, I lost that. And even if that thing stays with us, then what develops is greed. If we have something and we want more and more, it's called greed. And these days, it can be very clearly seen in the world, because there's a rise of obesity in the world, especially in the developed nations. People are becoming fat and fat and fat because they're eating more and more and more. So that's called greed. There's enough to eat, but you're not satisfied. So then you want more. So you eat more and more. So there are two diseases which are very closely related. One is called compulsive overeating. You know, when even if you are full, you still want to eat more. And then another thing which is closely related is called binge eating disorder. So what happens in binge eating disorder is that you eat a big amount of food in a very short span. It's very hard to control. You just go on. Once you start, it's very hard to stop. Has someone experienced on a festival day? And then later, after eating two or three plates, you realize, oh, why did I do it? Because there's pain. That's why we think. But then again, we forget the pain, and then in the next feast, we do it again. Right? And people think it's not that bad. Many people in the world, they organize the yearly competitions, pizza eating competitions, pie eating competitions, and these fat, big people who are dangerously overweight, and they are glorified and given medals that, oh, you won, right? So this is going on. Their greed is glorified. So that's the fall down. Because of the greed, we accumulate, we eat more, and then, does it satisfy us? No. Because in Bhagavad Gita it says, this is like a fire. If you put fuel in the fire, it increases. It's not put off. So only thing that can satisfy us is Krishna consciousness. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. If we actually want to be satisfied in the core of our heart, we need to perform selfless devotional service without any expectation of any return. Then we will be satisfied.